Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We are back again with Nathan and Melissa King, and we're talking about studying God's Word, which is my favorite thing to talk about on this podcast, because if you've listened to the podcast for any length of time, you know that everything that we do on this podcast is we want to direct people towards God's Word. It's all about Him. It's all about the study of His Word. It's all about the study of Him as Creator and as our Savior. And homeschooling only matters if it points our kids towards Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it does anything else, then who really cares? You know, if we're learning science apart from God as Creator, who cares about that? I mean, it's not science. If we learn history apart from God as the great historian, it doesn't matter. None of that matters if we're not directing our kids towards their Savior and their Creator. And so there's nothing better than being able to find good resources to be able to teach them the Word of God and help them to understand and help us to understand the Word of God. There is so much, and we talked about this, you know, in the last episode, I think, that as parents, we certainly don't know it all. I mean, I love learning alongside of my children. I love the Bible coming to life for me. And I'll read a passage that I've read many times before. And depending on my season of life, mm-hmm. it has a completely not that it has a different meaning, because God's Word is God's Word. As a matter of fact, we were talking during the break about when I said, I wish it didn't say hide God's Word in your heart. I realize that's scripture. I mean, that is actually what the Bible says. I only say that because, not because I want scripture to change, but because I want to get it out. I don't want to hide it and keep it to myself. But there is so much joy in being able to understand and continue studying and know that we're never going to know it all. On this side of heaven, we're never going to understand it completely. That's right. But that's why we keep going. I mean, if we understood it all, we wouldn't need it. We wouldn't need God. We wouldn't need the Holy Spirit to help us to understand His Word and to depend on Him. So we were talking about what we would call the trivium, or about the classical approach to learning. And every child, whether, because I know, you know, of course, our listeners do different methods of homeschooling, and you've got the Charlotte Mason crowd, and you've got the unschoolers, and you've got the classical crowd, and you've got the eclectic, which is more like what we do. Mm-hmm. But no matter what type of homeschooling you do or how your kids learn, every child basically learns this. They learn this way, whether you know it or not.
Right.
They start with the grammar phase, the kind of foundation of memorizing things, because a five-year-old is not going to understand how to apply what they learn. You're just feeding that knowledge into their brains.
Which is why you need to be very careful what you say around five-year-olds.
That's right.
Because they will repeat everything you say.
Yeah, because God made them that way. They can absorb. Yeah. 85% of neural connections, something like that, is already done by the time they're 6 or 7 years
Isn't
old.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So that the first phase is the grammar phase. The second one would be the dialectic stage, and that's the starting to understand and ask questions.
Yes.
This is the phase of teenagers and preteens, right? Which now the three of us have been through, you know, them questioning you and not questioning, like, mommy, why is the sky blue?
Right. That's like a four-year-old.
That's like a four-year-old why.
No.
These are the deep whys.
Yeah. Why is God good and there's like death in the world?
Right.
Right. How is that possible? You know, they're trying to figure this stuff out. They're trying to put it together in the right way. They're like, how does this work? Right. And so sometimes those questions are those deep ones that we are like, wow, this is a really great deep question. Other times they're questions about our behavior and, you know, why we did this or did that. And why did you do that? You know? So, but they were asking why. They're trying to put these things together correctly.
Right.
And they're trying to figure it all out.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is how God created them.
That's right.
And it can be frustrating at times. because you're like, stop asking me these questions. Right. And sometimes it can be scary. I know that I've had my girls ask questions, you know, mostly my older, because she's 15. My younger is 10, and she's just now kind of starting to get into this phase. But my 15-year-old, you know, she'll ask deep questions sometimes, and I'm like, should I worry? I mean, this is kind of a scary question that you're asking me, and where is your heart with the Lord? Because if you're asking me this question, then, you know, do I really need to question where you are in your walk with Jesus? And then I have to step back and realize, no, this is natural. This is good. She should be asking these questions because she needs to understand what she believes and why she believes it. If she just regurgitates everything that we've taught her, but she has no heart connection to it, then when she's 18, 19, 20 years old and leaves our home, she'll have no attachment to her belief. She needs to understand what she believes, but why she believes it. So this is the phase, the dialectic phase of teaching them the why. Why do we as parents believe what we believe? Why do we believe God's word? Why do we believe that it's true? And so kind of walk through that phase with me. Like, I mean, even maybe with your kids, like, what has that looked like for you? And then we'll kind of jump into the rhetoric stage, which is the next stage.
Sure. So I'm gonna actually back up just a second. Yeah. I will answer your question. But I think you make a great point that in the dialectic phase, we're telling them the why, right? So they can understand, right? Because this is the understanding phase, right? Sometimes that means that we get to fill in the gaps of the stuff they don't know, right? If they ask a question and they already know the scripture about it, I can point them back to that. Right. Now, that doesn't mean I need to be studying scripture too, and maybe along with them, so I know what they know. Right. But occasionally you're going to hit those things that you didn't have a ready answer for. Right. And you're maybe have to go find an answer for that. And by the way, that is where the church is great.
Right.
You can go to the pastor. I mean, he's here to equip you. He can give you some of those answers, some of that scripture that is of value. Now, you'd be going to a church that is actually seeing God's word as true and authoritative.
Right.
But at the same time, that is their role. Right. One thing that's interesting is if you don't answer those questions, if you don't help them, I'm not saying that if you miss one once in a while, I'm not talking about that. I'm not trying to scare parents, but at the same time, if we're not doing that in a systemic way with our children, they will fill in those gaps with stuff they make up.
Right. Or that they get from their friends.
Right.
Right. Which they made up.
And I was going to say, aren't we glad that they're asking those questions?
That's right.
Yep.
You know, instead of other people.
And if I could take a step back, the rest of the world, they might get some understanding, but it's based on a whole lot of stuff that's made up. Right. There's a faulty foundation underneath all of it, right? That's based on my heart is wonderful and everything my heart thinks. I ought to follow my emotion, all this kind of stuff. That there is no God, that I ought to be in charge of my own existence. I'm existential, right? I make up my own value and that kind of thing. These things are the weapons of the enemy to undermine really a scriptural understanding of the world, because we know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? And that Jesus is the cornerstone, right? But if I believe those other things and I'm going to church, my whole foundation is ruined. It really doesn't matter how much I'm putting on top of it. Again, can God work in any circumstance? Of course he can. Can he grab anyone out of the pit and make them new? Of course he can. But understand that if I'm going into the church with a faulty foundation at the get-go, I'm already behind, right? The enemy already has a foot in the door,
right?
And so I do think that's part of the reason why we're finding that so many children are not graduating into a adult life that includes Christ.
Right.
In a meaningful way.
How do you handle that in your home with your children asking the questions, the hard questions that you then have to answer?
Right.
Normally it's late at night.
Right. That is true.
Why is that?
We're like getting under a blanket.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, yeah, come on in. This is great. No,
it's not just in our home. Huh?
No, it's a wonderful opportunity. And we point them back to scripture.
Yeah.
We help them to think rightly, okay? Because that understanding, we're helping you have right understanding.
Right.
Oh, sweetie, that's not the way this goes. That's not the way this is. you know, whatever she's bringing up, I say she, because that's usually one particular right. student at this time.
Right, right. Well, your he is only six.
That's right.
We've got a while.
That is a different
he's
kind
still,
of question.
He's still yeah. in the grammar stage.
That's, can I have a snack? Can I watch a show? That's right. what that is. Right? Anyway. So, right. Yeah. But yeah, so we want to point her back to scripture and help her to have a right understanding, point her back to what she knows. And if I don't know it, we can find out together.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we do in that dialect phase.
I love that you say that because, again, it shows that we don't know everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we can go back. I've shared this before. I had a teacher. So I grew up in a Christian home, but we didn't study the Bible together in our home, in our family. My parents became Christians when I was a little girl. And so they were still trying to figure it out and learn. And so I went to a Christian school growing up. And I remember specifically in high school, I would often have questions because I was in the rhetoric or in the dialectic stage. And I had all kinds of questions about everything. And I had a teacher who was, he was my Bible theology teacher. Actually, I had my Bible teacher and a different Bible theology teacher. And I would just go to them and ask them questions. And one of them in particular, he'd always say, well, doesn't matter what I say, what does the Word of God say about
that's
it?
Right.
And he would always direct me back to scripture. And he would sometimes have to look it up himself. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he just knew off the top of his head, well, Psalm 35 says, you know, he would say, well, let's see, what mm-hmm. does God say about this? And so I love that you talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Nathan and Melissa, and we're talking about the different stages of classical learning and how that can be incorporated into studying God's Word. And this is really exciting. I love that you have done this for us, especially for those people who homeschool the classic with using the classical model. But again, for those who don't, this is how kids learn anyway. So mm-hmm. you don't have to use the classical model. You can do Charlotte Mason. You can do eclectic. You can do mm-hmm. any style of teaching.
Absolutely.
You can use this method for teaching God's Word. So we talked right. about the grammar stage, which is kind of that foundation being set, memorization, things like that. We talked about the dialectic stage, the asking of the questions and mm-hmm. questioning everything. But helping our kids to understand what they believe and why they believe it. And then let's jump in really quickly to the rhetoric stage, which sure. is kind of that last phase of learning.
Absolutely. And so this is classical conversations, the group that we originally were part of when we got introduced to this whole idea, they would ascribe that as wisdom, mm-hmm. right? And so the way I take it is a little bit different than where they go with it. But generally speaking, it's using the material that you know rightly.
Right.
Right. And that's what wisdom is. It's the right use of knowledge.
Yep.
Okay. So I have great understanding of it. Now I got to use it rightly. There have been horrible leaders in this world's history that had great understanding and used it very poorly. Mm-hmm. Right. So just because you have great understanding and knowledge doesn't sure. mean you're going to use it in the right way.
Right.
And so we specifically target mentored wisdom during that rhetoric stage. And so there's two ways that we go about that. The classical way, the way that you ought to do it if you are, you know, Aristotle and all that, is you're talking about the arts of persuasion, okay? That you're trying to persuade other right. people of what you know about God's Word, right? And that's the direction we would take this if we're talking about biblical discipleship in this model. I would try to persuade other people and present to them. There's a power to presentation, right? Not only do I learn it better myself, mm-hmm. But then I have an impact on others, and, you know, that kind of a thing. There's also this other side, though, where I can apply God's Word and live it out. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I'm being coached through that, right, is what's going to help me make better decisions in the future as well, right? Because knowledge is necessary, at least on some level, for understanding. Mm-hmm. But understanding is what drives behavior,
Right.
Right. And so I'm going to, and that's why so much of our public school, you know, system in modern education targets understanding. They don't have you memorize lots of repertoire. Mm-hmm. They just want you to understand the material. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what they try to have you do.
Sure.
But then you have like this, you know, 20 years later, you have this kind of like mysterious sort of nudge in your mind that I think this is how it works. And you don't know.
Right.
But that's what they try to do, because the understanding is when the lights go on.
Right.
Right. You're, oh, that's exciting. The kids understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they can't keep it. Right.
Right.
But they do that because you see the impact of the behavior. Mm-hmm. Right afterwards. That's my own personal theory, but I really think that that's part of the reason why people want understanding is mm-hmm. because it drives that behavior. And so rhetoric is that opportunity to coach our children through using God's word, either in persuasion or actually living it out. Mm-hmm. And really it's kind of counterintuitive in some ways that the coach is almost more vital at that late stage than they were at the beginning. So often in homeschool, we have, you know, the parent very involved mm-hmm. at the very beginning and less involved as time goes on, because the student is doing things more and more mm-hmm. on their own. And there may be some place for that. But in terms of discipleship, mm-hmm. I would argue that the coaching needs to still be there. I'm not saying it takes as much time,
right?
But it's every bit as vital.
Right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting to think through the different phases, because if you think about it in, like I'm picturing a courtroom, you know, and you've got an attorney, they've gone to law school. Well, when you go to law, I mean, I've never been to law school, but I'm imagining, you know, when you or even, you know, maybe a medical doctor, you know, when you go to school, you first memorize all the facts. You know, if mm-hmm. you're going to become a doctor, you first memorize all of the parts of the body, right. all of the things that you need to know, all of the facts of being a doctor.
Right.
Then you study it. Mm-hmm. You understand why the body works. Maybe that's, I like the doctor analogy better than the lawyer analogy. You know, you understand how the body works together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then you apply that knowledge, you know, maybe in an operating room
right.
or in a medical office. And so, you know, even as adults, we apply this same way of learning to life.
Right.
I mean,
it's not just kids.
Right? It's not just kids. Yeah. It's adults as well.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Bible Quest, because again, you know, we this podcast exists because we want to equip homeschool families and Christian families to be able to disciple their kids, to be able to teach them how to teach their kids God's word and how right. to point them towards Christ. And so you talked earlier about when you kind of started this, you started your research on figuring out mm-hmm. why kids were walking away from the Lord, and through, I'm sure, years of prayer and hard work, you finally came out with Bible Quest. So talk about this. What is it and how does it work?
Sure. Yeah. So Bible Quest is really a tool. Okay. It's a tool to do this model. Do you need Bible Quest? Well, no, you could do it on your own, but sure. if we can give you some tools to make right. it easier, great.
Right.
So we start with what we call the equip phase. Okay. Because we can't just call it the grammar phase.
Right.
We've got to be, you know, have great marketing and all
right.
that. So anyway, so we call it the equip phase. And the equip phase has a lot of tools in it. For instance, we ask four questions: who, what, when, and where. Mm-hmm. Okay. The who is going to be specific people in a given time frame in scripture. Okay. We do a chronological approach. Mm-hmm. So which means we start with the Old Testament and we do it chronologically. I have some things that I put in very specific chronological order because that's my understanding of where they fit. Mm-hmm. As I've done my own research. That's why I situate them the way I do, because mm-hmm. chronology is very, very helpful sure. For students. And in fact, we actually have a 41-point big Bible story song that kids memorize. It's like the ABCs of Bible chronology.
Okay.
This question that we talked about earlier about Joseph being in Egypt, being Joseph's dad, kids are like, is that the same Joseph?
You right. know,
that doesn't happen if you understand biblical chronology.
Right.
Right. It's a way to help them with their understanding mm-hmm. from the get-go, because they have this kind of ABCs of chronology. Anyway, so we situate Bible Quest's lessons and our content on that kind of timeline. That you have a question, you have a who. All right. So who is this person? Who is Adam and Eve? Who is Jesus? You know, we ask these questions and we answer those with bits of information that these children should be learning verbatim. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
So that's in there. And those are on our game cards. Actually, you have the game cards right there. If you can show those who are watching, those who are listening, you just have to believe me that they're fun. But we have the information on those and there's games you can play.
Mm-hmm. Right? And we love games. We actually did a whole episode just a few weeks ago
oh,
on
really?
Game schooling. Yep.
I dig that. Okay, that's I'm gonna have to listen to your episode now.
It's great.
Okay, yeah. So, but we play games with those. We present them first, and the children memorize them first. But then we can play games, and we can you know, go over those. That's a tool, right? The what is, what does God say about blah blah blah, right? And we always ask that question. We always have a prompt. We say, what does God's word say about the creation of the world? Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we don't answer that just with spoken word. No, no. We make songs.
Make songs.
And this is we're in a third edition of Bible Quest. Nice. The original two editions were sung by yours truly. And I truly apologize to everyone out there for what that was. We eventually got a much better singer. Nice. Her name's Lindsay. But she helped us out. And then I do voices. I enjoy voices. And so for the funny ones, I could do the fun voices. But you're not hearing me sing in like an actual serious voice. I do the funny voice stuff, you know.
Yeah. We tried to be considerate of the moms also that are listening all day to it, you know.
Exactly. And so we try to be fun and funny. And in fact, my son Levi, he wanted me to make a CD of the boy songs. He called them the boy songs. That's the ones where I make, you know, the funny voices that I do. And anyway, so I have a whole collection of the boy songs for him.
So fun.
Yeah. So, but that's a tool, right? It's going to help me to memorize these things and do it in a fun way, because you can make memorization as boring as you want to.
Yes.
But I choose not to.
Right.
I choose not to make it boring.
Right.
You know, but you could if you wanted.
Because we want fun.
Yeah, we want fun.
We want fun school.
That's right. The where, we have maps. Okay. So the kids can trace where those are with their fingers or, you know, whatever. There's games you can do those. Because geography is a intensely effective way to build context when you're studying history. Mm-hmm. If you're reading Acts, right, and about Paul's journeys, and you're going to like Pisidian Antioch, and you're going to Iconia, and you're going, but you hear those place names, and you don't know where those are, do you get kind of like a little bit, your eyes sort of dull over,
right,
and you wonder what time it is, and you just want to leave. But if you know where those things are, you have a much lower chance of getting bored, right? Because you have this context. You're like, oh, I know where Pisidian Antioch is.
Right.
Oh, I know where Jerusalem's at. I know where Rome is. I know where Three Taverns is. I know these places,
right?
Because I've studied where they are. And it's not difficult to do. One time we set up a floor map for my daughter, Lydia. When we were working at the church, we actually used this in the church. Anyway, I set this floor map up with like tape, you know, like masking tape of the actual outline of it. And I put cities in with these little red cards on the floor. And Lydia said, what is this? And I said, oh, well, that right there that you're standing on, that's Corinth. She's like, oh, so this is Thessalonica. This is Berea. This is Philippi. This is, you know, she went through this whole thing, but she knew where they were, and she had an instant context. She understood exactly what she was looking at.
Sure.
We played great games with it. And so that's the where, right? Mm-hmm. Then we have when, and we have a 4-foot timeline that includes actually the words from our Big Bible Story song on it. If you have both of our timelines from Old and New Testament, you actually have the entire Big Bible Story song on your wall.
Okay.
And you can play games with that as well. You know, and so we're trying to help them to understand the chronological context now where these things are happening, and they can go back and forth. Mm-hmm. That's that equip phase. We also then have a empower phase.
Okay.
And that is separated into these explorations, which is really about asking questions, having conversations, and exercises.
So this would be the dialectic.
Exactly. Gotcha. And so, we're having those conversations to build understanding, but we also have the exercises, kind of what we were talking about earlier, you know, keyword outlines, or maybe even something called sword drills, which you may be familiar with.
Yeah. Oh, I love sword drills. My girls love those.
There's a level of comprehension that's going to come by gaining the aptitude.
Really quickly explain sword drills, because for those who don't know, or I could, I mean, either way.
Yeah. Well, you get your Bibles out and you say, okay, everyone look up Matthew 28:20. Oh, okay, here we go. And I'll read it out loud. And now I know, you know, I got there first. I'm using my sword.
So. The sword of the spirit. Sword drills are fun. I think that comes from Awana. Is that right?
It's old. I don't know. Awana uses it, I think.
Okay.
But it's an old idea.
Maybe they stole it from someone else.
Oh, probably
Thou shalt not steal. But anyway, continuing
on. So you have these exercises to help to build aptitude and Bible study skills, really, right? In using God's word. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, we then have the expedition phase. Okay, another E. Great. And this is
which would be the rhetoric.
Exactly.
Okay,
it's a rhetoric phase, and that's really giving opportunities to the student to present material to others or to put it into practice. The reality is, though, that it's mostly on the side of presentation, because in a curriculum, it's difficult for me to give you all the possibilities of ways you could apply the Bible. Right.
Right.
Go on a mission trip with your kids. Mm-hmm. Right. Go and serve in ministry with your kid.
Right.
That's application. I don't need to, you don't need to package that.
Right.
Right. Go do it
right.
and coach them through it. right? But there is also this presentation and persuasive side. And so that's kind of where we fit it in, in Bible Quest, because we could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I love it. And it's in, and do you have to do every part of the curriculum in order for it to make sense? Or can you do pieces? Like, can you just take the game cards maybe and, you know, some days just play the games, or some days just do memorization?
Okay. So in the curriculum book, each week has just a little really easy to find format of what you can do for that day. So you would just open it up to that week. And if you want to just focus on maybe geography, maybe in your own homeschool, you're working on a certain part of the world, and so you're wanting to fit this in with it, you know, you can definitely take that apart, I think. You do have to have a little bit of foundation in order to use the cards fully as the game. You would have to have explained a little bit of the...
I would definitely start each week with going over that content, right. But she's right. Okay. I mean, you could definitely, you know, have an emphasis on a different day and just take part of it.
Okay.
But that is just that equip phase. You could do the empower phase. That's that dialectic phase on its own. I suppose it's possible.
Sure.
You would gain something from it. Okay. It's not that there wouldn't be value there.
Right.
It is made to be used in order. Does that mean you couldn't some days do something different? Of course.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. You could definitely do that. Where I think people would get into trouble is if they're trying to go to the very end without having any foundation underneath.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sure. I wouldn't go there and expect it to have the same impact.
Right.
Will it still have an impact? God's word doesn't return to him void. And that's so if you're showing people God's word and they're living that out, there's gonna be value there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I love it. You guys have done an excellent job with this. And I've enjoyed flipping through it the last couple of weeks. And I can see that the Lord really worked through you to put this together. It's not something that you just threw together and said, here's a Bible curriculum. But it really does lay out a great foundation for teaching God's word chronologically in a way that kids can understand it.
Absolutely.
And so you've done a fantastic job of allowing the Lord to use you to bring this resource. So where can people find out more about it?
Sure. They can go to BibleQuestClassical.com.
Okay.
We do have a sample of 4 weeks. You can get a hold of four weeks of songs, 4 weeks of cards, everything that you can download and look at and use.
Oh, great.
That they can check it out.
And I love that you do that. I always appreciate companies who will offer a sample of what you're getting into, because, you know, of course, when I first started homeschooling, I don't know if you were the same, Alyssa, but I thought I needed to have everything, and everything that everyone recommended to me, I was like, oh, well, that's the best one. Oh, well, that's the best. Oh, well, I'll just get it all. Mm-hmm. And you end up spending a ridiculous amount of money. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're not great, but it, you know, some things work better for some families than others. And so I really do appreciate that you allow people to give it a trial run before purchasing the curriculum. So we will put links to all of these things in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for your encouragement today and just for your wisdom and being able to share about family discipleship and digging into God's word, helping our kids to fall in love with Jesus. So thank you guys for joining us today. You are such a blessing to us. We love you guys. We pray for you on a consistent basis. Our family does. Always let us know if there's a way that we can be praying for you or your family. We really do that when we do our family devotions. We get those requests from people sometimes, and it's exciting to know how we can be praying for you, our audience. So send us an email at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. We would love to hear from you. Thank you again. Have a fantastic rest of your week, and we will see you back here on Monday. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.